Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Apple's annual Worldwide Developers Conference is underway today in San Francisco. The company has announced it's going to name its new operating system El Capitan. It is also going to allow developers to build native apps for the Apple Watch. That'll make it easier to create watch apps, and there's going to be improvements to Siri. And Apple Pay is expanding to include many more retailers. And the big news, the company is expected to unveil a new and long-awaited music streaming service. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, joins us from New York for more on that. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Jeremy.
And I guess when Apple gets into anything, we have to assume that that's the way that a large part of the market is going to go. And I wonder if it is already too late for those of us who still occasionally buy songs on iTunes. Streaming is the future.
This is why there's sort of a poetic beauty to Apple getting into music streaming a little bit late, because if you recall, it was similarly a little bit late to the MP3 player game, the Apple iPod, which was the beginning of this incredible series of successes the company had with the iPhone, the iPad, was not the first player in the game. But when it came online with iTunes, it was such a perfectly and beautifully integrated system that it dominated the market for music downloads for a long period of time. But we're sort of past that initial stage of music disruption. Downloads have actually been declining for the last 2 years. So the music disruption is being disrupted. Spotify and other sites now have streaming. YouTube is technically sort of streaming as well. Yeah. And all of these varieties of listening to music without paying for individual songs, paying rather for access to those songs, is the new norm. And that seems to be what Apple is getting into today.
And people have been anticipating this launch of a new music streaming service from Apple ever since Apple bought Beats Music and Beats Electronics for $3 billion last year. What was so great about Beats that Apple wanted to be involved with?
This was the huge question. What was so great about Beats? You weren't buying the major player in this industry. That would be Spotify.
Yeah.
But $3 billion is an enormous expense. I believe it was more than Apple had ever spent on a company since it had bought Next, the company that Steve Jobs founded during sort of his interim. Beats has headphones, but so did Apple. Beats had music, but Apple also had streaming radio and lots of digital downloads as well. Beats wasn't nearly as big as the industry leader Spotify, and so it was a little bit confusing, but now we begin to see how Apple's playing its hand. It seems to have wanted to buy Dr. Dre, to buy some of the technology and use what was special about Beats, which was curated music, music sort of curated by DJs and other famous musicians, in order to bring a little bit of personalization to a streaming world that is getting pretty crowded.
So if Apple is going full on into streaming, what does that mean for the industry, for the music industry? How's that going to change the whole industry?
I think we should be clear about how we should expect it to change the industry and how we should humbly expect it to change nothing. On the one hand, the music industry should want competition. If Spotify is the only game in town, then it makes it easier for it to set the rates that it wants. Spotify is an enormous part of that streaming market. But if Apple joins the fray, then maybe you get a little bit more competition, and maybe the music industry, the labels, can pressure some of these tech companies to pay a little bit more for their music. It should be said, however, that this is happening during a time when recorded music sales, whether you're talking about physical albums, digital downloads, or streaming, is in structural decline. The future of the music business seems to be live events and licensing, that is, paying for music to be used in advertising. And so the music industry is struggling to figure out where the new normal is, where the new bottom is, and hoping that it gets some deep-pocket customers like Apple to get into the market.
Well, we remember Taylor Swift famously said, "I'm not going to let my music be streamed on Spotify anymore." She was going out on her own and saying, "No, buy it if you want it." What does this mean for artists?
This is a really difficult question, I think, because on the one hand, artists are being paid very, very little per listen on Pandora or Spotify. At the same time, these are services that lots of people use for free. So when you have ordinary people, ordinary music fans saying, I think that it's a shame that musicians aren't paid more, these customers sort of have to look in the mirror and acknowledge that they're paying nothing to listen to these bands and solo artists on YouTube and Pandora and Spotify. I think that right now you have a situation where, look, in the 20th century, you had this business of copies. Copy meaning a duplicate of songs that you could sell for money. But the internet had this way of disintermediating the market and doing away with copies that you would pay a lot of money for, because suddenly music wasn't scarce. It was completely abundant. And so the market sort of went away. And now you see a lot of these artists, I think, who should be seeing things like Spotify and maybe even the new Apple product and YouTube essentially as paid marketing for their products, when most of their income is probably going to come from the live events business or from licensing their music.
Wow, an interesting and changing world for the music industry. Derek Thompson, senior editor of The Atlantic, thanks as always for talking with us.
Thank you.
And we'll continue to follow what happens at the Apple Worldwide Developers Conference going on today in San Francisco. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.